I thank Brother Chip Roy, but you count one for me, one for you on wives. He's ready to go get him one over by the fence, I guess. If y'all don't know Brother Chip Roy, you don't know how funny that is, but he's already outlived several wives and he's looking for another one, so. Jeremiah chapter 32. Listen, I don't want to read this whole chapter, but Jeremiah is in prison. And I want to pick up in verse number 6, and I'm going to skip around a little bit. I know you're standing. You don't have to stand for the whole thing. And I may not read a whole lot of scriptures here, but I want to deal with this chapter tonight. Jeremiah is in prison. Jeremiah 32, verse 6. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hananiah, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come to thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of the redemption is thine to buy it. So Hananiah, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hananiah, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money in even 17 shekels of silver. I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hananiah, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, for all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. Verse 13, And I charged Barak before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and the evidence which is open, put them in earthen vessels, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Verse 16, Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchases unto Barak the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Thou hast showed loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensed the iniquity of fathers into the bosoms of their children after them, the great and the mighty God. The Lord of hosts is his name. Great is in counsel, mighty in work. Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He goes on to say in verse 25, Thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take the witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. I want us to notice that right there. Basically, Jeremiah is saying, Lord, you told me to buy this field, but I want to remind you, Lord, the Chaldeans we're under a siege of the Chaldeans. I obeyed you, Lord, but I want to remind, like we do sometimes, Lord, I want to tell you what's going on here. He says, O Lord God, verse 25, Thou hast said unto me, Lord God, buy the field for money and take the witnesses. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Verse 26, Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city in the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. The Chaldeans that fought against this city shall come and set on fire this city and burn the houses, upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, poured out drink offerings of the God to provoke me to anger. He goes through a lot of different things here, provoking the Lord, rejecting the Lord, stubbornness. Verse 20 or 35 is talking about causing their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which means human sacrifice. They offered their children as human sacrifice. Verse 36, now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say it shall be delivered in the hand of king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine, the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all country, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place and cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. Verse 44, men shall buy fields for money, subscribe evidences and seal them, take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and the place about Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of mountains, in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your graces upon us. Thank you for this service and what we've already heard. I ask you to help us tonight as we go to your word. You see this scripture, Lord, that you've laid on my heart. I pray you, Lord, to help me, God, to preach it just as you would have me to. Nothing more, nothing less, Lord. Just to deliver your message, God, and what you would have to say to us. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I want to preach tonight on buy the field. Now, I want to say right here as I was thinking about this, I don't know if anybody is thinking about buying some land. Don't tell me until I'm done preaching because it might be messed up, but I'm not here on any agenda. I just want to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart. Buy the field. Jeremiah is in prison. It ain't going good. I mean, the economy is not on the top. A lot of times we make decisions and God gives us wisdom on, you know, making choices. But here he is. He's in prison. Things are not going good for the country of Israel at this time. You read this whole chapter. I would have liked to have read the whole chapter and that would have been fine, but we can get it here and we read enough, I feel like, to get in. I may dig into it a little more and read a few more things, but he's in prison now. Amen. He's not in the palace. He's not riding around in a new car, fancy car. He didn't just get a pay raise. He's in prison. God says, buy the field. Amen. He says, and we read here, that he said that the word of the Lord came to him, amen, saying, your uncle's son, calls him by name, his cousin, praise God, would come and say, buy a field. He said, then he came, and he said, I knew it was of the Lord, amen, that this came to me. And I want us to be led by God, amen. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want my steps ordered by the Lord. Praise God, no matter what it is and what is coming. Amen. We have to also understand, amen, that the land was being turned over to the enemies of God. Turned over to the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, amen. And the Medes, the Persians, all of this was going to take sweeping control of the known world at that time, and it was coming. Amen. And yet God still, in the midst of all this, told Jeremiah, buy the field. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight what I want to preach about. Even though I'm preaching on buy the field, I want to preach about hope. Praise God. God gives us hope. You look at these children tonight, if we didn't have hope, what would we do? I know we live in a wicked world, church. I know that things are not going the way we want it to be. I know we can look in the past. Jeremiah could too, look back and say, man, look at how it used to be. Praise God. But church, we have hope tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk about, amen, when God says it, how we have to follow, amen, blindly in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. On the word of God, making our decision based solely 100% on what God said. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah had heard from God concerning this. Nothing is too hard for God. Can we say that tonight? Nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah asked that. He says, amen, in verse number 17, he says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven, the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Praise God. And it seems like that I'm reminded in Genesis where when Sarah laughed when God said she was going to have a child and she was 90 years old. Amen. And Sarah laughed and God said, Sarah laughed and she wouldn't admit it. Amen. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh yes, you did laugh. Praise God. And, but he said, is anything too hard for God? Hallelujah. Is anything too hard for God? When Moses when the people complained because they ate the bread from heaven, they ate angels' bread. Amen. God rained down bread from heaven in the wilderness. And it went all the way until they crossed over Jordan. Praise God. Now I want to just throw this in right here, church. God has enough bread till we make it across Jordan and to Canaan's land. God has enough bread. Hallelujah. Through the wilderness, through the attacks of the enemy. Amen. Through the idolatry that they fell into there in Baal worship. Amen. When Moses and Eleazar and them was weeping and all of that took place there with Balaam. Amen. The bread kept coming. Praise God. When they didn't deserve it, the snakes was biting them and they was dying. The bread kept coming. Hallelujah. All the way until they crossed over Jordan. I want to tell you, church. Amen. God has got the bread enough for us. Amen. To make it all the way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I want to say what got me to that was where they wanted some meat to eat. They remembered them steaks. They remembered that meat and they started complaining. And God told Moses, he said, you tell them in the morning, I'm going to give them meat to eat. Amen. He sent quail. Praise God. Amen. Until they were sick of eating meat, there was so much meat. But Moses, I know y'all read this. I believe it's in Numbers 11. Now I'm trying to, I might be shooting from the hip tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. But just kind of throwing out here. Didn't have a whole lot of time to study. Just this on my heart. So I hope this is all right. I might not take long and I might take longer than ever. Hallelujah. You never know. Sometimes it's bad. Amen. But Moses said, oh God, what are you going to do? You're going to get all the fish out of the sea. This is millions of people. Hallelujah. Are you going to kill all the cattle? Hallelujah. That's what we do. God, how are you going to do this? And he said, oh, is the Lord's hand shortened that he cannot save? Amen. Is there anything too hard for God? I created the world. I created everything. Amen. Jeremiah, I know you're in that prison, but by the field. Buy it because there's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. Amen. God can do it, church. We have got to get to the place where we really believe that. Amen. Come on now. We know we believe it. We'll say, I believe it. I believe there's nothing too hard for God, but do we live like we believe it? Faith. Really having faith in God that God's going to turn it around. That God's going to make it the way it should be. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's in prison. He is locked up in prison and he says, the Chaldeans are coming. God had showed Jeremiah all these things. The Chaldeans was coming, all of this. Amen. But we must believe, have faith that nothing is too hard for God. I mean, you get this picture. He's a prophet. God has showed him things to come. He knows that the Babylonians are coming and all of this is taken over and they're going to rule the world. He knows it's from God and God tells him that it's from God. But in the midst of it all, Jeremiah, amen, paid 17 shekels of silver and bought a field, amen, and sealed it up, praise the Lord, because God said the captivity's coming back, amen. And I know that God's able to do it, hallelujah, and he will. Not only that, but God's ways are not our ways. Amen, as the heavens are higher than the earth, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, so are my ways higher than your ways. Amen. My thoughts are not as your thoughts, the Bible says. Praise God. Amen. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bud, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Verse 11. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it. God told Jeremiah to buy the field. It didn't make no sense. Amen. It don't always make sense to us, church. It don't always add up. You might not can always write it down on pen and paper. Amen. Living for God. You might might not can always put it just the way it should, but when God says do it, we've got to do it. We must trust God. Amen. Trust Him like never before. You know, Naaman was that Syrian. Before I move on, talking about hope. Amen. Naaman, that Syrian, and that captain in that, the Syrian captain, and there was a little maid that they had. Y'all know the story in 2 Kings is a chapter 5. Amen. Where he says, where that maid says, I wish he'd go down there to the prophet in Israel. Praise God. You'd be surprised what the children know. Amen. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool children. Amen. People drag their children here or there, but they've been touched by God. I've known people. Amen. Way up in years to say, God touched me when I was a child. I've met people in prison, far from God. God touched me when I was... You can't get away from the touch of God. I don't know what this girl had done. She may have went to Sunday school. She may have been picked up on a bus. She may have went to children's church. But somehow she knew about the power of God. She said, I wish somebody could take Naaman down there to that prophet in Israel, in Samaria. And they sent down to the king. And y'all know the story. Amen. Elisha said, send him down here to me. Praise God, Naaman come down there, riding up in all of this glory and everything. Elisha didn't even go out. You know, we put such a big show on stuff. Amen. And I know we have prayer lines and we anoint with oil and God is in it many times. I've seen God heal. Amen. But all it takes is faith and true belief in God. Amen. And God is able to do it. He didn't even go out and do anything. He said, go down to the Jordan River. Amen. And wash 7 times. Dip 7 times in that Jordan River. It made Naaman mad. Why did it make him mad? Because it wasn't the way he thought it should be. Matter of fact, he says that. In a rage, he leaves out there. He said, I thought that he would come out and strike it with his hand. He said, I thought all of this. And that gets us in trouble, church, so many times. Is we let our thoughts, amen, conquer what God wants in our life. Amen. But God's ways are not as our ways. And His thoughts are not as our thoughts. Amen. And so, I don't know who it was. I don't know if it's a little servant or whoever said, hey, you know, if it would have been one of these other rivers or something great. Naaman said, well, Naaman named the other rivers. And said, what about this river and that river? They're better than Jordan. Listen, God doesn't have to do it our way. Somebody wrote a song said, fix it like you want to, Lord. That's all right with me. Do you believe that tonight, church? Amen. God, fix it like you want to. Amen. I could write you out a list tonight about how I want God to fix it. Amen. But God may not want to fix it that way because He's going to get the glory when it's all said and done. Amen. We could write out a list. God, I want you to do it this way and that way and this way. But God's way is not like our ways. I can imagine Naaman in his fine clothing and all that charity. He probably found the most secluded place on that river. He's afraid somebody's going to see him. And you know what I imagine? I imagine that he got off in there and I can just see him hitting an old muddy spot and an angel pushing his feet out and him just sliding down in that river. I mean mud and all. It may not happen that way, but I can see it happening like that. I mean, you know, all his pride and everything. I've thought about times in my life, you know. I mean, God can do it His way. He dipped 7 times and his skin come back as flesh, like a baby's flesh. All the leprosy is gone. Church, it's not what we do, it's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Nothing is too hard for God. I'm preaching tonight on by the field. Hallelujah. Amen. You're in prison, Jeremiah, but by that field. The Chaldeans are coming, but by the field. Amen. All of these things are not the way you wish they was, but by the field, because there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. But you know what else it done? It caused that man in that prison to look to a future. Hallelujah. He was a weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet of doom. Come on now. We might not want to admit it, or it might not matter, but Jeremiah didn't prophesy a lot of good things. He didn't tell a lot of fancy things that people wanted to hear. That's the reason he's in prison. It was not what he wanted to hear. Amen. But you know what? You know what it caused that man in that prison to do? It caused him to think about the future. Now I want to tell you something, church, tonight. No matter where we're at tonight, God wants us to look down the road and know that there is a future in God. This is not where it ends, Jeremiah. Amen.
this may, you may think this is where it ends, but it's not where it ends. I remember one time they threw Jeremiah in a pit, and the Bible said he sunk down in the mire. Amen. It was nothing but a slime pit, and they threw him moldy bread and water. Amen. But this is not where it ends, Jeremiah. Amen. You may be in a pit, but I'm not in a pit. The Lord told Jeremiah, said, there's going to be houses. There's going to be vineyards. I can see Jeremiah sitting down there. Now, y'all may not daydream. You may not daydream. But I wish sometimes we could daydream and forget our troubles just a little while. I'm not preaching this mess like positive thinking or nothing like that. I'm preaching about hope in God. Can't you think about heaven sometimes? Can't you think about the future sometimes? Amen. The devil gets us all down and gloomy and we can't even smile. But you know what it caused Jeremiah to do? It caused him to look in the future. Praise the Lord. Look in the future tonight. Look in these children's eyes. Hallelujah. God has a call on their life. God has talents that He wants to give them. God has a spouse already picked out for them. You believe that, don't you? Come on, I believe it. Hallelujah. They sing these songs in these weddings. Amen. When God made you, He was thinking of me. And sometimes I sing them to Sister Bethany. Hallelujah. Nobody's around and can hear me singing, but I'm not going to sing them to her tonight. Hallelujah. I might faint on the platform or something, you know. But God has a plan for these children. God has a plan for our lives. There's hope for the future. I know it's bleak and dark in ways. And I know that this world is not going the way we wish it was. And I believe that tonight. But there's hope for our children. There's hope for our grandchildren. Can I get a witness tonight? Jeremiah, you're in prison. Jeremiah, you're in prison. Yes, you're in prison. But by the field and look ahead. Because I'm still God. Amen. Hope. Amen. You know what? When people lose hope, they've lost it all. Be careful. Don't let the devil steal your hope. Be careful. Don't let the devil take that hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, in Job, he said, there's hope of a tree. That if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. You can take a chainsaw out there. Cut that tree down, and you know, that tree may never come back, but there's hope. There's hope that it can be enough rain. There's hope that there can be a little sprout. Amen. That's that old stump cut off. Amen. I believe it's in Job chapter 7, where he said, there is hope of a tree, that though it be cut down, that it will sprout again. The tender root, amen, will bud forth through the scent of water. Though it wax old in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen it time and time again where storms and, amen, the devil's chainsaw will cut people down and cut it down. Amen. And cut families down and cause all kinds of chaos. Amen. And do all kinds of things, even in the church and in the house of God. Come on, church. Hallelujah. But we can't lose hope. Amen. You might be in prison, Jeremiah, but by that field and look, there is a future in God. There is hope. Hope in God. Amen. There is a hope of a brighter day. Hallelujah. I have a hope of a land that's better. I've got hope that God's going to help us. Amen. God said it. It's hope. We can build on that hope. Amen. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, and we can't talk about hope without, amen, looking at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, when he talks about this anchor of the soul. Hallelujah. You know what an anchor does? Amen. An anchor holds that vessel in the storms and waves. You know what that anchor does? It pulls down, actually, through gravity. It'll pull that vessel down into the water and hold it. Amen. But our anchor ain't going down. Our anchor is going up. The Bible says it enters into the veil, inside the veil. Amen. Two immutable things. It was impossible for God to lie. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And that which entereth into that within the veil, the anchor holds, church. Amen. That anchor's on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Now I know there's storms raging and there's, amen, all kinds of things that would would come against us, unimaginable things that come against children of God in this hour. Amen. But he's in prison, and God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, buy that field. For I'm telling you, they're going to come back to this land. And they did. They came back to the land. God sent them back, and God's able to do it. Hallelujah. Invest. Hallelujah. He paid money. He put it on the line. It cost him. He invested 17 shekels of silver. Now, I don't know what that'd be as far as with today's standard, but I'm sure it wasn't $50. I'm sure it wasn't a $20 bill according to today's standard. I'm sure it was a chunk of money. You know how it is sometimes, you know. Jeremiah, that's just a waste. No, it's not a waste. There's a future. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you, we look at these children and we look at, amen, their lives, and we look at what we invest in them, what we give to them. Amen. Whether it be education, spiritual things, which is most important. Amen. All of the things. Is it worth it? Why, sure it's worth it, you lying devil. Why, sure it is. Amen. Get your eyes out of the prison. Amen. Jeremiah, God said there are going to be houses and vineyards come. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, the Bible says, occupy until I come. Anybody know that the Lord's coming soon? I heard somebody say the other day, and I agree, I want to steal their line. I can't believe the Lord ain't come back yet. I mean, you take saints of God that have served God for years and lived for God. Some of you saints of God, you look and you think about, amen, 30 years ago, and you say, how in the world has the Lord not come back yet? Amen. But he hasn't yet. Praise the Lord. It may be tomorrow. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. But he said, amen, occupy till I come. Amen. You know what? Then came the first thing, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He saith unto him, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise then be thou over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Oh God, what has God given us? We hold it so tight that he can't bless it. Hallelujah. Somebody told us when we was young, and we're still young, but when our children was young, and our children still are young, but I mean babies. They told us, they said, and we have never forgot it, we've mentioned it, said, anything God gives to you, hold it loosely. Because it's a gift from God. Hallelujah. You don't ever want him to snatch it away from you. Praise God. What I mean by that is, God, it's yours. It's just borrowed. Ain't there a song that says, of the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're not mine, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, Lord. Amen. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Listen, God's blessed you. God's helped you. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about talents. I'm talking about ministry. I'm talking about gifts. I'm talking about things that God gives us. It's not God's will for us to wrap it up, amen, to keep it all shiny in a napkin. Hallelujah. Occupy till I come. Here's thy pound. It gained 10 pounds. Well, hallelujah. I want to say well done because that's what Matthew says. Amen. Another said, amen, here's thy pound, for I feared thee because thou wast an austere man. In other words, a hard man. Now take us up that thou laidest not down and reapest where thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. Amen. Taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thy money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he saith unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Church, this is right here in the Bible. we don't use what God has given us, He will take it and give it to somebody else. Amen. And I'm almost done. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. This is in a parentheses. Verse 26, for I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Oh, God, help us. Occupy till I come. Praise the Lord. The Lord's a coming soon, but that don't mean we sit on the couch all day. That don't mean that we don't do nothing for the Lord, that we don't witness it. Well, the world don't want to hear it. I know the world don't want to hear it. I know. But I'm preaching tonight on by the field. Jeremiah, you're in prison. By the field. Jeremiah, I've already showed you the Chaldeans are going to take by the field. Jeremiah, everything's going, people have turned away from God. They're sacrificing to Baal. They're by the field. I'm going to burn this land with fire by the field. Because the days are coming, Jeremiah, it's going to turn around. Now I'm going to tell you something, church. The days are coming, it's going to turn around. Hallelujah. When we all get to heaven, there's going to be rewards passed out for those, amen, that in so many words, if you will, amen, bought the field. Got busy for God. Thank you, Jesus. Stand together with me tonight. I appreciate you, hallelujah, being here. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be speaking to somebody's heart as an individual tonight. Maybe a decision that they're making, God. Something, hallelujah.